Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a Tuesday, where we heard from Matt LaFleur wrapping up the season in his final press conference of the year prior to heading out into the great unknown of the offseason. Lots of work to be done, lots of stuff talked about regarding the offense, the defense, the team as a whole, some of the players in particular and their futures. But obviously the headline coming out of the proceedings and probably the biggest piece of news is the pending retirement of quarterbacks coach Tom Clements. Tom, obviously a Packers legend, having worked with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love, well, along with Matt Flynn. Don't forget about that stint as well. But Clements clearly should be walking into the Packers Hall of Fame at some point here in the near future for just doing incredible work with all the quarterbacks that he got the opportunity to work with while in Green Bay, doing good work with Kyler Murray also down there in Arizona for a stint in between his two times in the fold with the Packers. Interesting, you know, when you talk about the work he did with Brett Favre, obviously coming on board with Mike McCarthy there at the beginning when Favre was in a very bad spot. Coming off the years with Mike Sherman, especially towards the end of Sherman's tenure, Favre had gotten very reckless, very careless, throwing a ton of interceptions. And the turnaround was very quick once Clements got in the door. Brett had his one of, if not his best season statistically as a Packer in 2007, the year after Clements got on staff with Mike McCarthy, and clearly made a monster difference in his latter part of his career. And then clearly, the well-documented work that he did with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, to this day, still giving him tons of praise and credit for his development as a young player. And then, yes, coming back for kind of round two with Aaron Rodgers for one final year prior to turning his tutelage to one Jordan Love. You certainly saw Love take a jump under Clements as his quarterback's coach. Going to be fascinating to see who Matt LaFleur taps to be the next quarterback's coach for Jordan Love. It's a pretty big decision, certainly going to be under a microscope, whoever it might end up being. And I still suspect that there's a decent chance he promotes from within, whether it's Sean Mannion, maybe Jason Vrabel, even Connor Lewis, who, you know, was an assistant quarterback's coach this year, still young to the game, so to speak, and has kind of started to work his way up. Maybe they go that route. But I will say, given the response that Matt had in the presser, I mean, kind of a wry smile and said, you just have to wait and see. Maybe there's somebody outside the building in particular that he's thinking about. I have no idea who that would be, but that is something obviously that will be kind of watched throughout the offseason, along with any other staff changes that Matt might make. We'll get that news as the offseason goes along, but plenty of other stuff to get to. I'm sure you guys have a lot of thoughts after hearing LaFleur chatted up for one last time with the local media. Good to see everybody in the comment section already mixing it up. Before we get to your questions and your comments, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups, get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. And they cover pretty much every major sport. So just because football's coming to an end here, don't think that you can't get on board Prize Picks and have a great time. The link to do so is in the description of this video. Remember, use code CHTV. Get on board, people. All right, let's get to your comments, questions, starting with Ryan here. He's going to play the hits. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Ryan Willey. Goody and Matt LaFleur should be on the hot seat if Green Bay doesn't make it to the NFC Championship game next season. There has to be improvement or you have a cheap team with a good-looking coach. I have no idea what that last part means, Ryan, but I will say, yes, there absolutely has to be improvement next season. Of that, there is little doubt. I talked about this on the radio this afternoon with Billy. There is zero doubt in my mind that the goal next season is A, to take back the division, and B, to make a run at the Super Bowl. That is the expectation, without question. Now, ultimately, if they end up falling short of the NFC Championship game, should people be fired? I don't think so. Your mileage may vary. But the only person whose opinion really matters here is Ed Policy's. and we haven't heard from him publicly. We'll see what he has to say whenever he's out there in front of microphones after Mark Murphy leaves. But I suspect, yeah, the idea, the standard, the expectation is that we see real improvement next season. And there's no doubt that Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, everybody in that building is well aware that these last two seasons, while a nice step forward from turning the page from the Aaron Rodgers era, a lot more is going to be expected of them going forward. There's no one in that building who's under any illusions in that regard. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Talk me off the ledge. Mitch Trubisky was excellent in practice and had enough moments in games to make people think he had arrived. Love's too good, right? Ed, the fun part about watching football and then seeing all these opinions about it, including my own, all over across the internet, is it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? I can sit here and tell you until the cows come home that Jordan Love is still exponentially, to use the favorite word of the people in the comment section, exponentially more gifted than the majority of quarterbacks in the NFL. When it comes to physical traits, his ability on the football field, he has not even begun to approach to scratch the surface of his capabilities as an NFL quarterback. Now, that said, you have to produce, you have to improve, you have to develop and get better. And that's what the expectation will be hitting the ground running next year in training camp and going into week one. But yes, there's very little reason to concern yourself with the Mitch Trubisky comparison. I promise you, and that's all I can give you is my word, that Jordan Love is not only way better and way more talented and has way more promise than Mitch Trubisky ever did. He will show you that next season. Mimsy, what's up, man? 24 tape only, Caleb showed more promise than Love. But there's a lot more to go on than just the 24 tape. And Caleb Williams certainly looked the part. And you can quibble with what he did first part of the season to the last part of the season when the coordinator switch got made. Although that is instructive, right? I mean, Caleb looked a hell of a lot more productive and the part, so to speak, once they did switch coordinators. And that's part of the component as far as what is the offense? What are they being asked to run? Who are they playing with? What is the talent level? How many more banked reps do they have, etc.? But yes, Caleb absolutely looked very, very promising. Now, Jordan Love, injured in week one, injured again later on in the season. Guys in and out of the lineup as far as who he's playing with. I mean, I understand that everything is a comparison and that everything is black and white on the internet, but there's a lot of gray area there that probably won't ever get discussed or talked about, but best not to denigrate or dismiss the good work Caleb Williams did this year. He certainly did, but 2023 exists. Jordan Love did that, especially towards the end of that season. You can't imagine it away. I mean, as much as some Packers fans seem to want to. Joe, what's up, man? I think this is why Sean Mannion was brought in. I mean, I don't know if it was specifically for the reason of we have to have a successor in line if Tom Clements leaves, but no question they like the idea of his having experience playing in the league, obviously playing the position. And don't forget, there was a bit of a kind of tug of war, so to speak, with Chicago and a one or two other teams to try and get him on staff. Matt LaFleur prevailed. I do think he's probably the leader in the clubhouse to replace Clements, but I don't think anything's a given at this point. Don Vito. Minnesota, ha, ha, ha. Fuck Skol. I mean, I did talk about it quite a bit on the radio this afternoon, but man, it's hard not to revel in that game last night as a Packers fan, especially with all the shit Vikings fans talked all year long, especially after the Packers lost in Philadelphia. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Also, by the way, I put out there last night that it was my favorite hate watch since the Giants blanked the Vikings in the NFC Championship game decades ago. I had someone reach out to me who told me a very interesting nugget about that game that I'm going to reveal at some point in the future. But yes, suffice it to say, yeah, it was fucking phenomenal watching the Vikings choke away that game last night. Just phenomenal. Craven. We've got Jason Wilde's burner account back in the house. There is no better smell than Jason Wilde cologne. I have no comment on that. I can't remember what Jason's cologne smells like. Jocelyn, how are you? Shout out Coach Camp. Coop is a budding star. Quay really improved, including in Philly. And the other two were serviceable, though limited physically. I think that's a very good observation. Although, I mean, I got to be consistent here and say, you know, somewhat, that is down to the players, right? Yes, coaching matters, and it certainly seems to have enabled these guys to improve and play better as the year went on. But again, we don't really know how much of that is the coaching and how much of that is just the players themselves doing the work and improving and developing the way you would expect them to. Certainly don't want to take anything away from the coaching staff, but these players are the ones that are out there doing it. Of that, there's little doubt. NA, what's going on, man? Smoking that Vikings pack today. Glorious. You ain't lying, man. It really is glorious. Rai, how are you, man? Was Sunday Halfley's best call game of the season? Man, that's really hard to say. I think it certainly did the job, right? It certainly seemed to limit a lot of what the Eagles were trying to do. But I don't know, man. I think he called a pretty damn good game against the 49ers. I think he called a pretty damn good game against the Texans. I do think some of it was helped by the fact that they got the reinforcements back. You know what I mean? Like, I think he calls a pretty different game in Minneapolis if he has the personnel on hand that he had on hand in Philadelphia. Minneapolis, Philadelphia, these teams that, like, are very specific in how they operate offensively, I think he might have a different approach if he's got all his bullets in the chamber, so to speak. You know, but it certainly was well called. Of that, I am sure. Don Vito, thanks again, man. Do you think Getsy takes over before Mannion? I think there's a possibility simply because he's done it before. Clearly, he's been in the building, right, for a number of weeks here at the end of the season, as Matt LaFleur revealed a couple weeks ago. He's got a history again with the position, with the organization. I'm not going to dismiss it out of hand. I tend to think Mannion's probably first in line, but who knows? It really depends. And there's probably every possibility that Getsy is looking for a gig outside of Green Bay. And, you know, this is just kind of a stop as he's gearing up to interview other places. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's impossible for that to transpire. JP, wow, you should get hazard pay. I actually listened to Paul Allen's radio show. I'm sure it was glorious. What I will say, though, is, you know, Billy was talking about how he, you know, used NFL Plus last night to listen to Paul Allen live and how great it was to hear him melting down, which I'm sure was phenomenal. But I got to say, Packers fans, I'm a bit disappointed that I have not seen some kind of mashup, some kind of supercut this morning, today, at any point, kind of putting together all the great moments from last night's game too. Paul Allen's calls. I mean, you're slipping, internet. I know it's a young man's game. I'm too old to do that kind of thing right now, but you guys are supposed to be young and full of vigor and chomping at the bit to do that kind of thing. And I have spent the whole day waiting and nobody's done it. It's disappointing, man. It's the off season. Time to get to it. So hit the like button, says Smooterino. I'm doing my part. Absolutely. James, you are not incorrect, sir. We need to draft pass rushers. And I know I can already hear people saying, well, they just drafted Lucas Van Ness and they've got Rashawn Gary. And those are very true statements. But I very much agree that they will continue to draft not just along the edge, but also along the interior. I don't really care where along that front they add talent. I think they definitely have to add talent, though. Lucas Van Ness is going into a make it or break it year. No question about it. But that doesn't mean that you don't continue to add talent, bodies, what have you, up front that can be disruptive. Especially with this scheme going into the second year, you want to be able to operate. I don't know if anybody caught it listening to LaFleur earlier today, talking about the journey they took on the defensive side of the ball, what they thought they were going to be calling a lot of at the beginning of the season, and then ended up becoming very different than what they had visualized. You know, and the implication was, well, we thought we were going to be rushing four, and instead we had to do a lot of sim pressure because we couldn't get home with four. The dream is to get home with four with a regularity. And that is going to be, I would think, Brian Gutekunst, the personnel group's kind of focal point this offseason. It's trying to make sure that that is what occurs more often than not for the Green Bay defense in 2025. Brody, oh, tough question right here. Does Green Bay pay both Tom and Walker, also Sean Ryan at center? It's good that let's just open it up to the offensive line, shall we? Because yes, those are all excellent questions. I think, you know, the first domino there is Josh Myers. What do they do there? I suspect they let him hit the market and he gets paid someplace else to go play center. As far as Tom and Walker, I don't think there's any question that Tom's the priority. And I think Tom will certainly get a contract. Now, Walker, I think that's different, mostly because they did just draft a tackle. And I know Jordan Morgan has spent the entirety of his rookie year running at guard. But that doesn't mean we don't come back during the start of the next offseason program with Walker entrenched at left tackle. Now, that's guesswork, right? But that could be the projection that they made when they drafted him, you know? And maybe with the idea that, okay, if Walker hits and becomes this, you know, lights out left tackle, then we pay him and we move on and we put Jordan maybe at right tackle, we move Tom to center, etc. Maybe those were discussions they had last year. But I will say, as much as I love Rashid Walker, and I think he's an amazing find for a seventh-round pick, you certainly see a bit of a ceiling with him, given what we've got on tape now for two seasons. He did clean up the holding calls that were somewhat, you know, ubiquitous early in the season. Certainly cleaned that aspect of it. He's cleaned that up. But I think if they feel that Morgan's ceiling is higher, maybe they make that move, right? Now, that said, maybe they loved what they saw from Walker all season long and they project him to continue to get better and they do end up paying him. I think that's still a possibility. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the entire offensive line shakes out, especially the interior, because you mentioned Sean Ryan and we saw him next man up as the center when Myers went down, right? I do think there's every chance that he gets the opportunity to compete there in training camp next year. But I also think Jacob Monk is going to be part of that conversation. I think they'll probably draft somebody probably on day three to bring along. So I think you're going to see competition up and down the line like we're used to in Green Bay. Very few of these things I think are entrenched other than Elgton Jenkins, I think, is set at left guard. I know they've moved him to center at times. I don't think they're going to go that route. I do think they want him to stay at left guard. But we'll see. A lot of moving parts there, no doubt about it. Vin V, what's up, man? Ahead of schedule, Nags. 2025 should be special. Go Pack Go. Also, where can I find the Patreon happy hour link? Vin V, it should be... I'm going to make 1,000,000,000% sure it's on the Patreon page. Now you got me nervous that I didn't post it, but I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah, I did. Tuesday, happy hour. It's right there. If you go to the Patreon page, scroll down like four posts, you'll find it there. Patreon happy hour tonight at 6 Eastern, 5 Central. Going to be a hoot. Pack owner, how are you, man? Just when you thought no one could play worse than the Packers in the wild card, here come the Vikings. It's my 37th birthday today. Go Pack Go. Happy birthday, Pack owner. Thank you, brother. Thanks for the support on your birthday. I appreciate you. I hope you're getting spoiled and doing a lot of fun things wherever you are. Just stay safe. Wake up tomorrow without a hangover and go Pack Go. George C., what's up? What's more likely, signing Devontae or getting Crosby? You guys realize all of that is like pie in the sky. We are really dreaming stuff, right? Like neither of those things are likely to happen. But between those two, probably signing Tay just because of familiarity. I mean, I don't think either one of those things are remotely in the stratosphere of could actually happen. That's just me. But I'd love to see it. I'd love to see both. But I just do not see them going that route. Steve, what's up? Playoff records all time. Packers 38-27. Vikings, the worst. 21-32. Bears 17-20. Lions 9-14. Go Pack Go. Steve, how dare you bring historical context into this conversation? This is the internet where everything that happens today is all that matters. Please adjust accordingly. Dustin, what's up? Boiling some mac and cheese and Viking tears. Delicious. That does sound delicious. Now you got me all hungry. Mac and cheese. That sounds good. Portmaster, how are you? With Kraft staking his claim for a bigger leadership role, is he a prime candidate for the next 4th-and-2 end around? Portmaster, you know, I'm here. I'm having a good time. We're chopping it up, making fun of the Vikings. And then you got to go and say that. Yes, why not? You know, we've run slower people on an end around. Why not indeed? Chad, that's an interesting question, man. Is Vrabel gone as the passing coordinator? I tend to doubt it simply because he's been on staff for a long time and has done really good work with the wide receivers in the past. Only Matt LaFleur can answer that question. Certainly there have been issues that you heard in this press conference about guys being at the wrong depth, things being out of sync, etc. And we certainly saw that on display throughout this season when it came to the Packers passing game. Will he drill that back down into it is the assistant's fault? Stay tuned. Wait, what? Smooterino, this is insane to me. This may be wild, maybe, but a reporter I like said Jacobs is a potential cut slash restructure candidate, noting his run EPA per run is among the worst in the NFL, and said he's barely replacement level. Thoughts? Well, first of all, that's a lot of looking at football through a screen and looking at it through a, you know, spreadsheet. Maybe they look to restructure his contract, but absolutely not. There's zero doubt in my mind that they will not be cutting him. That's pretty insane. And as far as like his worth to the team, what he means to the offense, I mean, I think it was readily on display throughout the season. And I understand people want more production and or efficiency, but I'm not throwing out the baby with the bathwater just because of some numbers. Absolutely not. Cheeto, how are you, man? Skull-a-lol. Bears and Vikes can go back to picking up grapes with their back cheeks and climb trees. We're winning the offseason, by the way. Calling it now. Do we want to win the offseason? I don't know, man. The Bears have won the offseason for the last, like, 10 years. I prefer they win the offseason. Then we will come in and win regular games. That's the hope, right? We got to get back to beating up on the Bears. They had their one win after 12 tries. That's enough of that. Got to restore order over here. Porkmaster, how are you, man? We are a better team than last year, but the vibes are way off. Launched that last month of ball into the sun. Man, you are not wrong. That is 100%, I think, spot on. I think they are a better team. I think they are certainly more talented and seem to develop more throughout the season than they did the year before. But they were playing better as a collective, as a unit, into the playoffs. You know, like even that last game against Chicago in the regular season last year wasn't, you know, set the world on fire, but they at least could operate on offense and they weren't turning the ball over. And although Jordan Love did fumble in that game, but yes, they were playing better football heading into the postseason. And that is a pretty damn important aspect, right? You can have a great stretch from late October through early December and be the talk of the town and the quote team no one wants to face. But if you're playing like garbage those last 2 or 3 weeks heading into the postseason, as we saw on Sunday, it's difficult to just turn it on and start hitting your stride out of nowhere. That is very, very difficult. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channel. As we talked about before, please join us on the happy hour going up at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. The information is on the Patreon page, also here on the community page for Care of the G Club members on YouTube. Cannot thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.